welcome to episode 88 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agent Sandy, and we are very excited to introduce the newest addition to the Outlander team, Laura Moog Lanier. Laura is just learning the sales side of the travel business, but she has years of experience related to her specialty. Rather than me telling you about her, I'm going to let her introduce herself. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Elizabeth.
So tell us a little bit about why you became interested in selling travel.
Well, I spent most of my life in the field of social work and nonprofit management, focusing mostly on people with chronic health challenges and intellectual and physical disabilities. The past 17 years of that was as a specialized long-term therapeutic foster parent for up to 3 children who were all diagnosed as profoundly delayed, non-ambulatory, and medically fragile. And I raised them from 4 or 5 years old to 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20. Doing that, I developed both an appreciation for the demands and challenges of full-time caregiving and this interesting skill set around advocacy, around networking, and around connecting people to resources. And as I began to need to transition out of the caregiving role, I looked at those skills and thought those skills combined with my experiences would translate nicely to the travel world, where I could help people who most of whom have ruled out family vacations, large family cruise trips, because of their perceived barriers that would make travel or vacations a possibility. And I know that's not true, and what I want to do is help other families have the experience of travel.
I think that's awesome. So did you have like a favorite type of trip that you would do with those kids? Or
well, two of them were more involved than the little girl I had, and they all loved kind of the breezes on their face. Mm-hmm. Two of my kids were visually impaired, very profoundly visually impaired on top of being medically fragile. So for them it was, think of sights, of sounds, of textures, of different climates. So it's feeling warmth, feeling cold, you know. So we went to St. Augustine a couple times where I could have big, huge balconies. Now that's not something that you may think about. But you know, when I look for condos, I want a huge balcony because I'm going to be putting big wheelchairs that you know, tilt in space on those things. So we've done a lot of things like that. And, like I found a group down in, on the coast of Florida that had a hot air balloon that was wheelchair accessible. So that's why I purposely got us to St. Augustine, which was a great place for me to land in terms of being able to get them outside and to experience the sights and smells of the sea, but also that I could have each of them experience going up in a hot air balloon and that the warmth of the fire and the sound of the wind and the, for my little girl who could see what she could see from around her.
So. Wow. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, it's funny you say that about the wind on the face because the running group I belong to in Holly Springs has a group called Ainsley's Angels that they raise money for, and they do push wheelchairs for races and stuff. And
yes,
they love it. They love being in a wheelchair for those, you know, and being pushed through the race and just seeing everybody. And I think it is. I think it's the feeling and the exhilaration and something different.
The young woman who I had from the age of 6 and a half to 22. She loved that. Yeah. And there was a group in North Carolina called Chariots of Freedom. Mm-hmm. And they bought specialized, basically jogging strollers. Mm-hmm. But she loves it so much that I began to not be able to have her be in races unless they were over 5K.
Too short.
Because it was kind of like, you know, having like one bite of ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. So
they'd come across the finish line and it's like, ah! Yeah, so we found people who were willing to do like a push bike run and the chariot we found could do that. So yeah, it's, you know, it's for, and what, think of the other things now. You know, now you're a travel agent doing this. What are the other things that are wind on your face? Yeah. Well, you know, rent that girl a convertible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, that convertible out on the beach, you know, she is one happy woman, mm-hmm. you know, so, and, the, you know, that translates really nicely to something we'll talk about in a little bit is, you know, why I chose a cruise ship for her, mm-hmm. you know, taking her on a cruise. So,
well, let's talk about that. Can you talk about cruising? Because I know that's something you have experience with, and many of our listeners have cruised before, and maybe never with any sort of wheelchair or, you know, you don't, there's a lot of things you don't think about, and one might hesitate to go on a cruise thinking that it would be difficult. You know, you remember that there's stairs to walk up and down. You remember all these. So can you talk a little bit about why you did choose a cruise and how that went for you?
Yeah, well, we were really lucky because we'd actually been approached several years beforehand about doing something through Make-A-Wish for our kids. And there wasn't anything that really struck our fancy, once again, because there are limitations around what each child likes. But a friend of ours actually took their child, who's visually impaired, through Make-A-Wish on a Disney cruise. And at that point, the little girl I cared for that we'll call E, he was about 17 years old and she was just about to age out. And so I called them and asked would they consider coming and meeting her and seeing what her likes were and me explaining to them why a cruise ship would be helpful. And for her, it was, you know, what are her three favorite things? Disney movies, mm-hmm. swimming, and the wind on her face.
That pretty much matches
what the cruise ship all about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we sailed on the Disney Dream. We sailed in November, which may not have been the most ideal time for us to sail. What we loved about, and that I, you know, began to really get me excited about traveling with somebody who had differing abilities is the accessible rooms at Disney are accessible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of families who have somebody, especially somebody who's got mobility differences and they're used to looking at the way that bathrooms are configured and rooms are configured. I just want to sit in that bathroom and drool. You know? The shower was you just pull a curtain. You know, it's like one big large room and you pull a curtain and there's the shower. And there's not only a seat for the person who's in a wheelchair, there's a seat for you that's a little higher.
Wow.
So you can sit and care for the person who you're, you know, helping to take a shower. You know, it's incredibly well thought out. You know, some of the challenges we had on the trip were, that we couldn't have thought about was, E is very, what I'm going to call, there are a lot of children or a lot of people who have sensory processing disorders. We all have them. You know, do you hate the nails on a finger on a chalkboard?
Yeah.
You know, do you have friends or are you one of those people who sit in a movie theater and if there's somebody eating popcorn three rows ahead of you, you want to chop their head off during the movie?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I have a brother-in-law who won't walk on the beach because he can't stand that.
That's sensory processing disorders. Now, when you are, you know, when people have a born brain injury, that kind of thing is often accentuated. And for her, the dining rooms became more and more, a source of sadness and happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I went and met with the Disney reps who were great and they said, how about this? How about we set you up a table by the pool?
Wow.
That she can have her own private swimming and, you know, that most of the people are eating during this time. This is our largest dining time. And we'll put on favorite movies. Tell us what some of her favorites are. We'll guarantee you that some of her favorites are on.
Wow.
And you can eat, but so, you know, she had a chicken sandwich every night of the cruise. Did I care? Heck no.
Yeah.
You know, if I went back again by myself and I wasn't wearing a big button on my chest that said, you know, I'm a Make-A-Wish parent. You know, is what we do. We order room service.
Mm-hmm.
So it would still be wonderful. It would still be wonderful.
That's amazing. I know Disney's good at accommodating, but that
Well, and your mileage may vary. I think it's, you know, we don't want to say that no matter who you are, that would happen for you. But yeah, that is extraordinary. And, you know, cruising in November probably helped with that too, because it's not as crowded. And yeah, it's
there were 9 Make-A-Wish kids on this cruise, you know, and I'm not telling you they put up every movie she liked, but I could tell they tried to, you know, put up movies she liked, you know, and, you know, they helped us work around it. And I think that's, you know, for folks who are looking to who are thinking there's absolutely no way, there are plenty of ways.
Mm-hmm, right.
There are plenty of ways. And there were times that we could just go back to the dining room for dessert.
Yeah.
You know, so we had the majority of the meal, because a lot of people are beginning to leave the dining room at that area. So she could still experience, you know, when... I forget the name of the dining room, but the turtle talks to you.
That's the animator's palette. Yeah.
Yeah. She can still experience animator's palette when the turtle talked to her. You know, she can still, you know, experience the night when they dress up like prince and princesses, you know, and, you know, that royal treatment, it just took a little bit of finagling. And that is the kind of thing that I'm hoping to kind of carry over and show families, you know, that there's a way to do that and to develop relationships, you know. As you know, you know, when you develop relationships, they will help you access those things that make it easier for families to travel. Mm-hmm. So,
well, just having the expertise to know both the people who offer services and also then what those services require. Because, and, you know, we're calling this episode Traveling with Special Needs, but it's important, and you sort of touched on this, special needs could be anything. It's not a wheelchair, necessarily.
Right.
It could be anything. It could be visually impaired. It could be an eating issue. It could, you know, gluten-free diets or, food allergies, all of those
things. Just, you know, hearing differences, sensory issues, parents who are beginning to have some dementia issues, you know, the mobility issues, you know, there's all kinds of pieces to the puzzle, you know, and, you know, I even talked a little bit with friends today about, you know, talking about a special need is those of us who don't fit in the, you know, size 3 to size 10 category.
I'm special need.
us, large and fluffy people, you know, those are special needs on their own and can often say, people can often, it can stop them from, having joy, you know, stop them from thinking that they can access travel also.
I have clients that I talk to about this a lot with theme parks, because it's not only walking, which is one of the obvious things that people think of in a theme park, but riding rides. If you were really into roller coasters and you are of a larger size, and sometimes it's not as large as you think. You don't even feel like you're necessarily that much larger than anyone else. But it can be challenging to fit into those seats safely. And one of the things I love about Universal Studios is they give you seats outside of the rides where you can try them before you stand in line. And you can.
That's really nice.
It is really nice, and it also saves you a little bit of embarrassment, because, you know, not only does it save you time from standing in line, and there is a ride at Universal that I can't ride. I'm too large to ride. And you know, I'm fine with that, because that's one of those
like, I
roller coasters.
Anyway.
I was like, that was good. But
I'm one of those roller coaster fanatics. You know, and I look for those kind of things and think about those kind of things. And I think that's the kind of thing that we can offer people to say, you know, that's the worst thing of all, to have a large group of people and everyone's begging you to come, and you get there and you can't fit.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing for, to get to the ride and the child that you got with you is so overstimulated, they can't go, and everybody wants them to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what are things that we can do to help that, make that experience better? You know, for that child and for that family, you know, more than anything, I think, people who are caring for, who have somebody in their life that needs extra care, needs a vacation, needs to refill their joy pitcher, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my hope is, and my focus is, you know, to develop an in-depth knowledge of how to make travel possible and accessible. And I, you know, dare I say, hassle-free, you know.
Promises, dream big.
Well, you know, it the more hiccups I can take out of the way, mm-hmm. because there's already going to be, you know, hiccups, the added hiccups of what they're coming.
Right.
But if I can have as many, you know, I's dotted and as many T's crossed, you know, I think that we can make vacations possible and not just go and sit in a motel vacations, you mm-hmm, know,
yeah.
but vacations where folks are rafting and
experiencing,
going on yeah. cruises and yeah. going, you know, traveling internationally and skydiving and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Well, I know you're getting crazy. So tell me, are there any other companies that you traveled with that you thought did a really good job like that?
Well, we didn't do a lot of other traveling with companies with that. You know, I've seen that and been doing a lot of work around looking at, you know, and I'm really impressed with the way Royal Caribbean is really mm-hmm. embracing, you know, and especially that, you know, this is a diagnosis we didn't even talk about, but folks on the autism spectrum disorder.
Right. They got the Autism at Sea program.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they're looking at all different kinds of issues, you know, around people with autism who are traveling, you know, and families who have somebody in their life with autism. So that is, to me, you know, it's really incredible. You know, the way that they are accommodating, people with visual impaired, you know, who are visually impaired with Braille and large print menus, the way that they're accommodating folks who are mobility impaired with plastic wheelchairs, children, you know, in their spray ground, they have specialized plastic wheelchairs for kids who are in wheelchairs so their own wheelchair doesn't get wet. You know, they're really trying to think ahead of what makes things work for families. And that lets you know that the market is kind of ripe and learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we can help empower them and, you know, even break new ground, I think it's going to be really exciting.
It was really interesting when Royal Caribbean announced their partnership with Autism at Sea because autism is such a broad issue.
Yeah.
And you know, no two people with autism are necessarily the same. They could be in very different places. And to train your staff to be able to handle things like that in everyday situations, it's really extraordinary, and it really shows a leap. I think it's a big move forward in the travel industry as a whole, because that's just sort of the thing that they could go on not worrying about that, and those families would have to figure things out on their own. And it's really nice to see. And Royal is one of the first to do it, but I don't think they're going to be the last.
Yeah,
absolutely. So. Absolutely. You know, usually when one industry specialist raises the bar, you know, it's really helpful,
mm-hmm.
you know, because other people are very likely to follow suit, and also begins to set a model, you know, that how this can be done and how it can be done. And I think as, you know, travel professionals, we can be an integral part of that, you know, of saying, look, this can be done. There are models for making it work. And, you know, we can help empower other people so that, you know, that there are no boundaries to being able to travel.
Mm-hmm.
No boundaries.
And you've been in that situation too. And it's great to hear, because I'm sure there were days where you thought, we're never going to be able to go anywhere.
Yeah.
We're never going to be able to
Absolutely.
Do anything. You know,
Absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunately, you know, I was managing 37 medications.
Wow.
You know, both of my boys had feeding tubes. One of my boys had a trach. None of my children have any mobility, independent mobility, so I'm lifting and changing. They're all, in the eyes of the world, incontinent, so they're all in diapers. So there are multiple things to think about. You know, I can't have the electricity go out because I have a child with the trach. You know, what's going to happen if there's no place to change a diaper? What, you know, so it's all these things that are running through your head. And it's the kind, I start to make a list today, and I've got 200 different things that I want to be able to find out about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they have restrooms that, here's a really nice example. There's a brand new facility in Greensboro, not brand new, but it's relatively new, the aquatic center there. Well, there, you know, it used to be the handicapped bathrooms were, or handicapped changing rooms were just a separate big bathroom. Their handicapped changing room has a motorized, like an $8,000 changing table in it. you know.
Wow.
That is incredibly embracing, you know, and it, but it shows that, you know, the way that the community and the way that, that the industry, the recreation industry is really looking at involving, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of humans, in being able to experience life. And I think of any industry, the travel industry is about helping, you know, humans experience life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know? I liked what you said about refilling your happiness bucket, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
refilling your pitcher.
Yeah. Your pitcher. Yeah, I like that.
Your pitcher gets empty.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
do different things to refill it.
Yeah.
But I think these folks have all because caregivers are, if their pitcher is empty, that's the water they pour out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good to pour out that kind of water.
Yeah.
So if we can refill it with fresh mountain spring water, then not only does that person benefit, but everybody she or he pours out on.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. You know, you laughed when I said skydiving. But I,
I'm just projecting my own feelings on
it. It was an uncomfortable laughter of fear. Is that
well, last May, I went with a really, really good friend of mine to the Adirondacks. And I was thinking about this today when I was listening to your podcast on adventure travel. Mm-hmm. When you were talking about, you know, that things are sometimes a little harder than you think they're going to be, or, you know, mm-hmm. we had planned to take a 2-mile hike that he had planned out for us into the Adirondacks. It was, and we were going to wind up at a lean-to by a pond. Well, we pulled up in his pickup truck and the gate was down because it was mud season in the Adirondacks. So he pulled out his GPS and looks at it, and it said, by the way the crow flies, that now it was going to be a 5-mile hike.
Oh.
Well, you know, as I stated before, I'm a little bit of a fluffy girl. But I was up for it and I was going to do it. Well, long story short, you know, GPSs go how the crow flies and roads don't. So it wound up being a 10-mile hike. Which I lived through, and
congratulations.
I'd rather be proud of that. But one of the things that, and that brings us back to this is we were about 2 miles in and saw a picnic table and a oversized, porta-john.
Huh.
We're in the Adirondacks in the middle of nowhere. This is the off the beaten path trail, and there is an accessible campsite. Not only is there an oversized pool that you could roll a wheelchair into in the middle of nowhere in the Adirondacks, but the picnic table has been extended at one end of it, because you don't think about this, but when you push a wheelchair underneath the picnic table, there's no room for your legs.
Yeah.
At the end, you bang right into that bar that goes across there. Well, I've never seen this anywhere else. They extended the picnic table out about 2 or 3 or 4 feet at the end. So you can push a wheelchair under with no problem.
Wow.
Well, if the recreation industry is thinking that much about it, there is all kind of good things to come.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we actually talked about this on the Costa Rica episode. Trust me, just go with me on this. I'm going to connect the two things. When lots of people start thinking the same way, you know, Costa Rica has been able to operate such a clean on such a clean environmental footprint for such a long time. Because they all are working together. And as we, as humans, start thinking a little bit bigger, I think we can accomplish a whole lot. And it's really exciting to see how the world is changing and adapting. And even little things that if you have absolutely no special needs, you may think was a really great thing that was done for you, like zero entry pools. That's a huge benefit. And, you know, suddenly they're popping up everywhere and people boast having them. And nobody says it's, you know, it's to help people who have a mobility issue get into the pool.
But yeah, well, truthfully, it's better on your knees. Mm-hmm. There's less risk of going up and down stairs, mm-hmm. less insurance to pay.
And at the same time, the benefit, you know,
little kids can splash in the bottom.
Well, and mobility issues can stretch to toddlers too. You know, you think about anybody who has trouble getting in and out of the pool, you know, the elderly, not people you necessarily would say, you know, this is a mobility issue, but it is, you know? So yeah, I think as we get better at this, it becomes easier and easier and easier, or vice versa.
You know, 20 years ago, we have said 25 years ago, when we were teenagers, you know, when we have said by the age of 20, that somebody we knew who had the diagnosis of being profoundly delayed and in a wheelchair would have been up in a hot air balloon, mm-hmm. Been on a cruise ship, gone to the beach and been in the ocean. You know, I mean, life is exploding. Mm-hmm. And I am thrilled, you know, to be able to connect the dots for people. I love that, Elizabeth, mm-hmm. to connect the dots for people and to let them see that not only this is a possibility, it's a possibility we can make possible for them.
Mm-hmm. So. Win-win for everyone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away on Facebook. Or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Laura, Sandy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.